Turn back to John 14. That's one of my favorite songs. That's the theme song of my heart. It is, right there. I can go to sleep with that song every night. Every night. That could be our prayer, couldn't it? Every night. Give me Christ or else I die. Title of the message. I brought this message not too long ago somewhere else. I brought it somewhere. But I was thinking about it for here, but between getting here and then, I've been several other places. But this one thought, and this is basically what I want to give you this morning, is just a thought. What's on my mind more than anything. And it can be summed up in this, the importance of knowing Jesus Christ. He's very real. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. Eternity is real. Judgment's real. Salvation in Christ is real, and he's to be known. And he's to be known. You would think that creation, this human race, would just want to know who created them, wouldn't you? You would think they'd want to know the Creator. And yet, when you look at the human race, they want nothing to do with him. It's just astounding to me how depraved, how dead, and how lost the human race is. And we were part of that human race. And God gave us understanding. God called us out, gave us an understanding, revealed Christ in us. And since then, there's absolutely nothing more important than to know Jesus Christ. But the thing that brought this to my mind a few weeks ago, I was talking with my parents. They're getting older. They're up in their mid-80s. Dad's getting very weak. And we were talking. I went over to mow grass. After that, we sat down. Dad got to talk. We were just talking about it. Got to talk about the past, you know, reminiscing. And then he talks about dying. And he said, you know, the hardest part of dying is just leaving those loved ones. And leaving the one you've been married to for almost 70 years, getting close to 70 years. He said, that's what makes it so tough. And I said, Dad, we ought to live our lives preparing to leave. I said, it's taken me 60 years to learn that. But we ought to live our lives, preparing to leave. What do we all know that we have to do? What do we know? I don't know what I'm going to have to do tomorrow, but I do know one thing that I have to do. I have to die, and I've got to meet God. I'm going to meet God. No matter what, I'm going to meet God. There's a lot of people in this world I'm not going to meet. There's 7 billion plus people in this world. Most of them I'll never meet. But there is one I will meet. God. Almighty God. Then a man called me Friday from North Carolina. Wanted me to come back down there. And he was telling me, I was asking if everything's going all right there. Down at Rupert Riding Barks. He said, yeah, he said, everything's doing fine. He said, we have there's a lady in the church. Her mother's 90 years old. And he said, you can remember her. I said, it's any day now, her mother could go. And I thought, you know, my thought was, oh, how important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ when this hour comes. Because it's coming. It's coming. And then here's probably about 3 months ago, I went to the doctor and I had trouble swallowing. I just couldn't get through my lunch or dinner. That's a good weight loss program, by the way. I was starting to lose some weight over that. I thought, it might not be too bad. Might want to keep this. But I went to the doctor and they went down my throat and he said, everything looks fine. He said, you don't have any cancer or nothing, no precancerous cells, but you got three ulcers on your esophagus because I have acid reflux real bad. And I was telling a gentleman this that works with me. He's a supervisor. He said, yeah, he said, I've been having a problem with that. I said, well, I said, I have mine checked out. He said, I think I'll have mine checked out. And he came to me last Friday and he said, I've got stage four cancer. And I thought, first thing my thought was, that could have just as easily been me. You know, that could have been my diagnosis. And he walked around the rest of the day. Because he had known it for a few weeks, but he didn't want to tell anybody until he went away for treatments in Philadelphia. And he walked away, walked around the rest of the day, and he was just, I mean, just like a shell, just like an empty shell. Just, I could tell he just not there. And again, I thought, oh, how important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how important. I just can't emphasize that enough. We all have to go sooner or later. And this is the reason why Paul tells us in Colossians 3, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. Set your affection, set your mind, set your heart on things above, not on the things of this earth. I don't want to have lived 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever years, and come up and be, and not have Christ. And not have Him. I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine that. I want to have lived such a life. I want us, everyone here, to have lived such a life that we can say right now, for me to live is Christ at the dies gate. For me to get up in the morning is Christ. For me to go to work tomorrow is Christ. And to die, it's not like God said you're going to. Point unto me and wants to die. I have conducted a lot of funerals over the years. And I've conducted a lot of funerals of believers. People I've known you all. Some of you all, at least most of you probably, since I was 23 years old. I came to 13th Street when I was 23 years old. I'm now 60. We've known each other a long time. And I tell you what makes me happy is we're still here. We're still here. I tell you, it makes me happy when I sit down and I think, I still believe the gospel. I still believe it. I still enjoy going to hearing the gospel preached. And many of you I've seen for years, and you're still here. You know what a miracle of grace that is? You know what that is? That's a work of God, kept by the power of God through faith. And the evidence of it is you're still here, and you still love the gospel. You still love Christ. You still love hearing about Christ. And you still want to learn of Him. You can't exhaust that knowledge. You cannot exhaust the knowledge of knowing Christ. He's the wisdom of God. Can you exhaust the wisdom of God? Absolutely not. No. Well, my first thought when I was talking to Dad and Mom, my first thought when I left there, I left her down, depressed. I was just saddened. But this scripture came to my mind, and this is going to be the springboard for all the other scriptures we're going to look at. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what I would say to them and to everyone here. Whatever trouble we go through, you and I have a God-given right not to let our hearts be troubled. I have a God-given right to live like I have good sense. I do. No matter what He sends my way. And when it comes to that time, now here, He was leaving. He's going back to the Father. But now it's going to come time for us to leave and us to depart from one another. And He's going to say, and He says here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I know you believe in God. Exercise that same faith in me. And the reason He says that is because He's God. If He were not God, He wouldn't say that. It would be idolatry to worship Him. It would be idolatry to exercise the same faith in Christ that I exercise in God. He says, so with that same faith that you believe in God, trust me. Trust me. In my Father's house. He's going to tell us about his Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. There's many dwelling places. There are no empty spots. There's no empty spots. There's no vacancy. Now, if I believed the Arminian gospel, the Arminian, what they say, there'd be a whole lot of vacancies, wouldn't they? Be a whole lot of vacancies. But there's no vacancies. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now, if it were not so, I would have told you this. Christ is the truth. Everything that came out of his mouth is truth. He never spoke a word that was not truth. Every syllable, every time he breathed truth. And he said, if it were not so, I'd tell you. I would tell you. I go and prepare a place for you. I was like, John, listen. John, listen to what he's saying. What he's saying to you. I'm going to prepare a place in my Father's presence for you. God, who is a light unto which no man can approach. I'm going to prepare a place for you in his presence. Can you imagine that? I have a place in God's presence because Jesus Christ prepared it for me. Oh, how obsessed we ought to be with him. How obsessed we ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing him, following him. Paul said, oh, that I might know him. He couldn't get enough of him. Couldn't get enough of him. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm not just going to prepare a place and all those who accept me as their personal Savior can be there. I'm preparing a place for a particular people. My servants shall not fail. That's what God said in Isaiah 42. My servants shall not fail. And if there's one place, if there's one seat, if there's one room, it's empty, he failed. He absolutely failed. But he says here, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now listen, and if I go and prepare a place for you, if I do this for you, You can just bet your life on this. You can stake your life on this. I will come again and receive you to myself. How many times has he done that over the years? As I said, I've preached several funerals. And all the funerals that I preached to those who believe, I wasn't preaching the funeral of a dead person. I'm preaching to one that's living. And what happened? What happened? You say so-and-so died. Well, what just happened? Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so died. What just happened? I'll tell you what happened. I'll come again for you. That's just what happened. The Lord came. The Lord came for the one he prepared a place for. And he took that person to the place that he had prepared for them. Now, I know it's painful when our loved ones depart and we weep for them, but again, think of where they are. They're in that place where the Lord said that he had gone to prepare for them. That where I am, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm not taking you to a place where I'm not. That where I am, not where I'm going, where I am. He's already there. You may be also. You may be also. Oh, the importance of knowing Christ. The importance of coming to know him more and more and more and more to the point where this place means nothing. This place. This earth and the things I have on this earth mean nothing. The relationships I have in Christ are going to flourish. All others are going to be cut asunder. They're going to be cut asunder and gone. And whether I go, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Now, you and I have the advantage of having the complete Word of God. Philip didn't have that. Philip didn't have that. But you know, this is the same Philip that when that asked that eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? This is the same one who asked the Lord, we don't know. We don't know where you're going. That Philip, or that eunuch said, how can I except some man show me? And he just stepped right up. He just stepped right up and said, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the one that, let me tell you about Isaiah 53. Let me tell you about the one that's speaking. We can, that's what I'm saying, we never exhaust the knowledge of Christ. You grow and you grow and you grow until you finally go home. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And since I don't know where you're going, how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, oh, what a statement. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient. He said, Philip, oh. And this is what I don't want for us. Have I been so long time with you? As I said, I've been with you all since I was 23 years. What, that's 37? Almost going on 40 years. Sat under the gospel. Sat under the most powerful preacher of our day. I believe that. I sat under one of the most powerful preachers. I sat under the powerful preacher of our day. That's the way he is in my book. And I don't want this to be said. Have I been so long a time with you, and you don't know me? You don't recognize me? You ever know somebody and think you know somebody and don't know somebody? I remember one time, Joe Terrell, I had him over to the house, and had some of you come over to the house, and Jackie and Dale was over to the house. And I was joking around, me and Joe, kind of joking around. Jackie said, well, I've never seen that side of you. That's because the only time she'd ever seen me was here. Christ is like the rainbow. Many colors. So much to know. So much to know. I don't want to just know Christ here. I want to know Christ out there. I want to know Christ on the job. I want to know what it's like on the job. I want to know him on the job. I want to know him out there on the golf course. I want to know him wherever I'm at. That's how I want to know him. That's how I want to know him. When you watch him in the gospel, you watch him move among the people. Watch how he talks to the publicans and the sinners, and watch how he talks to the Pharisees. It's just watching God. It's just watching God. Now, why is it so important to know Christ? Let me give you a few things. I only scratched out a couple pages here. Why is it so important to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because to know Christ is to know God. It's to know God. He said there in verse 9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Philip, he that knows me, is what he's saying, he that knows me knows the Father. There is no difference. There's no difference. Jesus Christ is God manifested, revealed in the flesh. To know him is to literally, it is to literally know the living God. That's what it is. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know righteousness. There is no righteousness that even exists apart from Jesus Christ. There is no righteousness. Self-righteousness is not righteousness. It's just another form of sin. That's all it is. It's another form of sin. Paul said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Over in Philippians 3. Turn over there. Let's read it. In Philippians 3. Look at this. Well, let me start in verse 8. Paul says this in Philippians 3. I'll start in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I have his righteousness. I want his righteousness. Jesus Christ is the only one who ever loved God perfectly and his neighbor as himself. He's the only one who never had a sinful thought in any way, shape, or form. He's the only one who worshiped God in spirit and in truth perfectly. And that is my righteousness. His perfect love, his perfect obedience is my righteousness. And that's the righteousness I want. And to know him. Now, when I say to know Christ, I'm not talking about knowing some facts about him. I'm talking about a relationship. A relationship. To know him. To know him is to know righteousness. To know Jesus Christ is to know full and complete salvation. That's what it is. It's to know the only sacrifice for sin. Do you have sin? Well, the only way God can forgive it is through a sacrifice. And Christ is the only sacrifice for sin. It's to know the only atonement, the only payment for sin. It's to know the only priest. You have to have a high priest if you're going to deal with God. He's it. He's it. It's to know justification. It's to know what it is to be justified, cleared of all charges. Now only, I'm telling you, only a guilty person will appreciate what justified means. If you're guilty and the gavel comes down and it says justified, you're like, I know I did that. But before God, you didn't. Before God, it's gone. That's how complete the sacrifice of Christ is. All my sins, all my wretchedness are gone. It's gone. Completely gone. And I stand before God justified. And I stand before God justified because of my union to Christ, my knowing Christ, my connection to Christ. Well, you think we'd be so obsessed with him having that kind of good news? Well, we're a bunch of dead people, aren't we? I feel so dead. When I think upon him, when I think upon what I have in Christ and who he is and what he's done for me and how cold my heart is at times, most of the time, aren't you glad salvation's all of grace? I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm going to preach a message one of these days, and aren't you glad it's all of grace? And I'm just going to name off our sins and just headline each one of them with, aren't you glad it's all of grace? There's so much hypocrisy in me. There's just so much of sin. Boy, the importance of knowing Christ. And then to know Christ is to know peace. Peace with God. Peace, real peace now. Not some conjured up peace, but real peace. Peace with God and peace in the heart. When the storms of life are raging and you can literally have peace in the heart. You can actually sit down and just calmly, calmly let it go by. That comes from knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. Christ, the scripture says in Ephesians 2, He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It's to know the Prince of Peace. And then it's to know forgiveness. Oh my, to know, to be forgiven. To be forgiven. I tell you this, not just to be forgiven of all my sins before, but the sins I've done since I've known the God, not since I've known Christ, since I've believed. To know that they're gone. To be forgiven of God, of all my offenses, which are many. Which are many. And then it's to know eternal life. Look over in 1 John. To know Christ is to know eternal life. Over in 1 John, let's look in chapter 1 first. In verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Look over in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, this eternal life, which is the life of God, is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So many religions, false religions, they preach eternal life as the length of it. And you're going to go to a happy hunting ground. You're going to live forever. Well, you're going to live forever whether you're in heaven or hell. It's forever, either place. But the eternal life spoken of here is the life of God. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life. You know, I've been given life, but I'm not life. I'm not life. He is. He's the embodiment of life. Life doesn't exist apart from Him. All things are made by Him and for Him. Without Him, nothing exists. Nothing exists. And then to know Jesus Christ is to know rest. Rest. You know, false religion won't let you rest. A false hope won't let you rest. A false profession won't let you rest. But Jesus Christ, that'll let you rest. That'll let you just sit down and quit trying to feel like you got to do something or go somewhere. Well, if I miss the service, they're going to think I'm lost. No. Rest is when I'm here or when I'm at home or when I'm at work. It's just, I have rest in Christ. He is my God. David said, God has become my salvation. He's become my salvation. He's it. He's it. Oh, to know Christ is to know rest. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Do we ever graduate from that? Do we ever graduate from learning of Christ? No. No, not at all. To know Christ is to know hope. It's to know hope. It's to have a real, listen, it's to have a real, genuine living. My hope's a living hope. It's to have a real, genuine hope of that when I die, I'm going to stand before God justified. I'm going to stand there accepted. And I'm going to stand there forever. Look back over in Psalm 119. I'll wind this up. Psalm 119. Look in verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. If Jesus Christ, now pay attention, if Jesus Christ is your hope, you will not be ashamed of it. You will not be ashamed of it. Any other hope, you'll be ashamed. If written in the book of Job, they were confounded because they had hoped. They were confounded because they thought they were saved, and they weren't when it was over. Lord, we preached in your name. We used your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. And he says, depart from me. I don't know you. And David's saying there, let me not be ashamed of my hope. If Christ is your hope, you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. And then it's to truly and genuinely know the love of God. The love of God in Christ. When that love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and Christ dwells in you, you will know, in knowing Christ, the love that God has to you. To give His Son and to do what He did to Him in order to have you, that's love that passes understanding. It passes all understanding. Now I say, let's set our hearts on things above. Let's take His yoke upon us continually and learn of Him. And look with anticipation. This is what I want. Look with anticipation for Him to come. Are you looking for Him to come? Or you talk more about retirement? You're more concerned and talk more about retirement and what you're going to do as you retire? Or you're looking for Him to come? Looking for Him to come. Not looking for an event to happen. If we would think more of Him coming for us instead of us dying as something that's got to happen, but to look for Him, there's a lot of difference. You know, I've learned one thing. Attitude's everything. Attitude. The attitude of looking for Him, watching for Him, is far different than conversation I had with my father. Far different. Look with anticipation. I said this. Henry is the only man I know that prays every day not to wake up on this earth. He's the only man I know that wakes up disappointed on this earth. He told me, he said, I pray every day the Lord will take me. I thought, my, what a place to get to. What a place to get to. Let me finish by reading this. Let me leave you with this. And see if this is not worth setting our hearts on things above. Revelation 21. This ought to put a snap in our step. This ought to enable us to take sickness a little bit better. This is what's coming. I know the future. You know that? I can tell the future. Because I've got it right here in my hand. Right here is the future, people. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why would I want to stay here and weep more? This is what I desire. And there shall be no more death. Henry said to me one time, we were walking away from a funeral, from the gravesite, and he looked at me and he said, I'd be glad when we quit dying. Well, here it is. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He's not into renovation or antiques like you and I. You know, we get into antiques. He said, you can have those antiques. I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he said unto me, It is done. It's done. It's good as done. It's done. It's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. I will give unto him that's athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is our future. To know Christ is to know all this one day. It's to know it. All right, Mike.